Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It's favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. You guys already know what to do. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. Leave a comment if you like it. Leave a comment if you dislike it. I know some of you guys will. You always got some. So make sure you leave that comment too. Let us know. All right. Also, my man, Panda Supplements. Go to pandasups.com. Discount code TDL for 35% off. Very, very good products. Just took a little bit of his green tea. Had me on a great nap. One of the best naps I've had in a minute. So definitely check out that product. All right. And then, you know what I'm saying? We're here to talk about the schedule. And, you know, do a little Keenan Cole, Matthew Butler look kind of look. And break it down that way. So, BD, how you feeling? Last thing. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL, at BDWilliams18. How you feeling, BD?
Feeling great, man. Feeling great. You know, there's some interesting things happening in Raider Nation recently, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't even talk about this in the pre-show, but this whole Mark Davis thing. That's messy for the organization. I mean, you know how these things work.
Yeah.
No one's going to get in trouble, but it's still a bad look. Still a bad look for the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a real bad look. Also, I mean, it was just good to read. It wasn't like pure sexual harassment because that's what I thought it was going to be. It's just him just being a bad owner. in a bad workplace environment, just from being a bad owner and, like, you know, checks bouncing and stuff like that. And, you know, some people are feeling like they can't move up, and those situations are definitely true. And, you know, going through those experiences yourself, you understand that. So, but if it was like actual woman harassment, yeah, he'd been out of here. So it's basically just, he's Mark Davis, basically. It's basically what I read with that article. So,
yeah. And I mean, it's not a corporation, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, there's all these like steps and the ladder is there and how you like get your promotion. It's like, this is the Raiders. It's literally a family business.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't get promoted, I mean, it's on the guy who writes the checks here, you know? So,
yeah.
But anyways, we don't have to talk too much about that. Another thing happened, right? The schedule came out. Mm-hmm. We got it on the ticker right here. If you're watching, if you're listening, we're going to read it out. Don't worry. You know, so how do you want to go about this? We want to talk about the schedule. Just go through each one and then talk about the games that stick out to us. What do you think?
Let's talk about the games that stick out to us first, and then maybe talk about some of the smaller games. So I think the thing that sticks out to me first is that we play the AFC West three times before the bye. So we figure out. Well, basically, the Raiders get a chance to see how they stack up against those AFC West teams. I think that would be a good sign to see where they are. And I think they're going to at least do well against two of those teams. So I see. Because usually, Patriots teams, they start off slow. All right? So we'll see how they gather themselves and kind of figure out what kind of team they are. So I don't expect them to come out like 4-0 or something like that. I think they kind of have to kind of figure it out at the beginning. But I think they're a good enough team. Well, where they'll probably make it to like 3-2 through those first 5 weeks. So what do you think, BD?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that the first part of the schedule is definitely tough sledding. Mm-hmm. It's divisional matchups. Right. So it's not saying that the Raiders, you know, aren't competitive against these teams necessarily, but it's in the division. It's a toss up every time. You know, so I expect it to be no different this year. Raiders are going to trade games with some of these teams. You know, it is what it is. But I think after the bye, looking at week 7 in Houston, week 8 in New Orleans, week 9. At Jacksonville, week 10, got Indianapolis Colts at home, and then week 11 in Denver, week 12 in Seattle. To me, that middle part of the schedule is super winnable. Like, the Raiders should go in there, handle business in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I 100% agree with that. Because, I mean, even if you look at it on paper, they're better than those teams. So, Houston, they're better. They're on paper. I mean, you could argue the Saints maybe, but I would say no. They lost Marcus Williams, and so they got to replace that on the back end. That was a big key to their whole defense, because for allow them to play the too high stuff that Dennis Allen likes to play, and allow them to move him around.
Oh, come on! I mean, yeah. With the Saints, it's Sean Payton's out.
Yeah,
you know, it's so we don't know who the Saints are going to be. They might be really good, you know.
And let's be honest, Raiders fans, we saw Dennis Allen as a coach. Maybe, I don't know.
We saw him.
Maybe he's a bad defense coordinator. Maybe he changed. We're saying the same things about Josh McDaniels, but he at least went 8-8 as, you know, a coward. So,
right.
Yeah. At least went 8-8 with Carton. I mean, he had Carson Palmer, bro. I feel like Josh McDaniels was a little better with Carson Palmer. So, yeah, I think they have a chance to really get off to a really good start this season, and then to be prepared for the last slate, because I think the Chargers could probably be a better team, because I think by then they're going to fire Joe Lombardi. And put a real NFL offense coordinator in there by then. If Brandon Staley wants to keep his job, at least, because that's going to be their problem, is they got Joe Lombardi. The Rams are going to be damn good. They're going to be good again. I think the Patriots are going to be good. That's going to be a Philip Belichick's got the game circled.
Yes. So McDaniels. McDaniels even more so.
I don't know. That's going to be a tough game, man. I feel like they're going to lose that game, because I feel like Bill's thinking about Denver. 09, they're gonna go back and do that one, but that'd be awesome. But Pittsburgh, that's just gonna be like a Mac and reception game. But I'm surprised they didn't do that on the anniversary of that.
That was kind of weird. I see what you're saying.
That's probably like my only problem with the schedule, is that they didn't do that for
the anniversary of the Tuck Rule.
Yeah,
Immaculate Reception. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I might be wrong on that, but I think they should have mixed it up on that. So
it's interesting. I didn't think about it like that. Last two games on the schedule, San Francisco, the 49ers coming to Vegas. Mm-hmm. These teams can play again because they can have a game outside of the Bay Area now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still think it's going to be rowdy. That's going to be the rowdiest game of the year. Especially if the Raiders are in playoff contention at this point.
Oh, for sure.
That's gonna be a serious game. And then week 18, Kansas City, TBD. If everything goes to plan, that one gets flexed into primetime, right? Week 18 against Kansas City at home.
Yeah, I think that'd be a big game for them. I wouldn't say like get into the playoffs, because I think they're gonna be a playoff team. Pretty easily, I think they're gonna make the playoffs pretty easy, in my opinion. That comes back to bite me as a Raiders media, whatever this is, you know, or you know, film breakdown guy, whatever,
right?
That might come back to bite me, but I feel very confident about this team, just because you know they weren't as good as they are last year, and they made the playoffs. So, and I think Derek Carr is a lot more locked in, and then you know, Derek Warren is gonna be locked in. Javonte Adams is going to be locked in. I think the offense is going to be really good no matter what. And I think the defense is going to be a lot better than we think. So I think they're going to be at least in the playoff hunt by the end of the season. But I think the KC game would be for probably a little bit more than that. But, you know, who knows if they come up with that game. As Patrick Mahomes late in the season, him and Travis Kelce, they turn it on late. They know when they're veterans over there. I mean, it's kind of like the Warriors, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the Warriors are putting it down, but look at them. They're in the championship. They're the third seed, but because they've been there before. They've been through the end of the season. They know how to get there. You know, the Raiders, they learned how to win last year, which I think was a good thing. And I think it will come back in the season of that young core still coming back that learned how to win together. So that's a big thing.
Oh, of course. I mean, definitely keeping as much of continuity together. That's something that is missing in today's NFL, because, you know, free agency, and there's, you know, the game is getting so, is even more violent, and, you know, there's going to be injuries, you know, left and right. But, you know, the teams that stick together, I think, are the teams that you continually see.
Man, it's just look at that. Sorry to interrupt you, BD. But just look at the schedule, man. This has got to be the easiest schedule they've had in years. Good Lord.
They say it's supposed to be strength of schedule is pretty high on this one, they say.
They play the AFC West, though, and the NFC West. So, of course, it is. They had what? They had three playoff teams last year. So, based on the NFC West had three playoff teams. And, you know, the Chargers went 9-8. KC went 12-5. And, you know, even Denver and Tennessee went 12-5. And then New England went 10-7. Pittsburgh went 9-8. So, yeah, it's a tough schedule. But these teams on paper and 2022, it's a little different, you know.
How many games? Let's go through this. Okay. How many games are for sure wins, for sure W's?
For sure. I never said that. I can't say that. I can't say that.
I got you.
Where they should be favored. Okay. How about that?
Let's say that. No, you want to do that? I mean, come on. That's just like, we're just going to say half the games. I for sure, week 7 against Houston.
Yeah, they got to
win. At home after a bye week, for sure. If they don't win that one, Josh McDaniels ain't the real deal.
Okay? No, he's not.
At Jacksonville, I don't care who their coach is. I don't care.
yeah, they got to beat Jacksonville. Yeah, they got to beat Jacksonville.
You know what I'm saying? I like that they're playing the AFC South. I like that.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
I think they got to beat Indy at home, too. I think that's good. Indy's going to have, of course, the hype and the great coaching, but
I'm not going to say Indy is a definite win, because who knows what Matt Ryan we see, if he's rejuvenated. You know what I'm saying? If he comes out there playing his best ball when they got the running attack that they have, they could be dangerous. Indy could be super dangerous.
I think with older quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, he's going to go over to the Colts and he's going to just go boom. But it's more about what he does as the year goes on, because he's an older quarterback. That's what you got to watch. Old with the quarterbacks like 37, 38, especially if they go to like a new team. I mean, he's gonna be happy. He's gonna be refreshed. Just, he got some good players around him, and he got that great line for the first time and he's had in like years. So he's gonna be refreshed. It's just how do they finish the year with him playing quarterback? So I expect the Raiders to be getting hot at that point, and Indy to kind of be going down a little. So we'll see.
Yeah. The last point that I want to make, going back to you talking about how they're playing the AFC West in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Early, like in week 5, week 4, and week 1, AFC West. I think that goes in the Raiders' favor big time, because these other teams, Denver's, they have a new coaching staff, okay, but for Kansas City, for Los Angeles, you know, they're going to have to figure out early on, like, okay, what is the Raiders' schematic identity, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially the Chargers week 1, you know, they're going to be going into it blind, you know.
We're not, though. That's the thing.
Right.
We already put a game plan. Hey, what did we do last year to stop you? And, you know, and how about we switch it up? Because, I mean, that's the game. Because if the Chargers are smart, which I know Brandon Staley is, they're going to be watching the game they played against the Patriots last year. That's the game they're probably going to be watching, and they're probably going to try to expect that type of scheme to come against them. Because, I mean, that's what I would do, I guess. So I feel like Brandon Staley's he is a smart guy. He's a smart coach. I think he's going to try to take that approach, but we don't know what they're going to do, because they're such an adjusting team. Nobody knows except them.
Yeah.
So that's the scary part. So that's why I think, but they do sometimes start off slow, but maybe, I mean, I think you're onto something, that maybe it is good for them to play some of these teams early. Cause I think Arizona's going to be down a little bit. They're not going to be as strong. I mean, they're not going to have Hopkins, right? So we got them without Hopkins. They lost Kirk. So basically, we got Marquise Brown and AJ Green, I think, right? I think they finally brought back Green. right? And then, and they really never really have the best line. They never really address it. And then, you know, Kyler Murray, you know how I feel about Kyler. Just get your hands up, guys. I'm sure they'll be jumping like they did with the Patriots did back in the day. All right.
Screw it. Week two, Arizona, definite win. Definite win.
Yeah. I need that just because I'm from Phoenix. Yeah. I'm gonna have to go. I might have to bring some people with me. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm gonna have to go up there and have them watch that loss in person. So, I think that the sneaky one is Denver, because I think Russell Wilson's gonna have a good start too. He always does, and especially because we talked about, you know, the Chargers and Kansas City. Everybody already knows what they do, right? We don't know what Denver's gonna do, really. Are they gonna run the ball, or is Russell Wilson getting his Drew Brees moment where he's gonna get to throw the ball 650 times? We don't know that yet. So it could be both. I mean, they could come out gunning it. And Russell Wilson, how I feel about him. I still think he's a top four quarterback. A lot of people try to throw him off, but he had a good end. He played really well to end the year last year. I think that he's gonna come out with a hot start. It's more about him with the end of the year, and we'll see how that goes. You know, teams figure out what they're trying to do and how to stop him again. But I think he's gonna be a little dangerous. That's kind of the game that's a sneaky loss for me.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I think we got to figure out a few things about that team. But yeah, on paper, they're definitely situated pretty well. I mean, I guess Jerry Jeudy has some legal troubles, but it sounds like that's not going to impact his availability too much. Courtland Sutton, I'm guessing, is coming back. He still plays for them, right? He didn't get traded. I didn't miss that or anything, right? Courtland Sutton's on that team, right? Yeah.
No, it's a wide receiver twos over there. Everybody loves.
I mean, I like Courtland Sutton winning outside the numbers, you know. I'm not never big, really big on Jerry Jeudy. I don't like Tim Patrick, so I don't get the love that wide receiver group gets. But yeah, it's not like the worst wide receiver group. They got some good backs. They got Russell Wilson. They got a legit defense, you know, up and down, you know, DBs and defensive linemen there. Yeah. So, on paper, it looks really good. But we'll see about the scheme and how it all meshes together. We'll see. I like Kansas City early on in the year. I like getting a win against them. I'm not going to say the guaranteed dub or anything like that, but I think that the Raiders can steal a win from LA and from Kansas City early on in the year, because they're going to be coming out with such a new identity. So I think they have a better chance early on in the year winning against those teams.
The Titans game is an L, though. Let's go ahead and mark that as an L. Mike Vrabel, he's going to bring it to his little buddy. I'll tell you that. That's going to be a game, because that's what I see. I see them losing to Tennessee and Denver, and the Tennessee game's gonna be ugly, and the Denver one's gonna be close, and everybody's gonna be like, well, can we win with Derek? And they're gonna be like 2-2. Can't wait for those conversations.
Oh god.
All right.
You're already getting ready for it.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for the after the 2-0 start.
Talked about Patriots. Mm-hmm. Okay, here, real quick, week 14, Rams. Okay. Going up against the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
At their house. I mean, Los Angeles to Vegas, it's not that big of a trip. It's the best road trip you could do, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Name a better one in terms of proximity. You know, I guess Philly to New York, that's pretty close too. So, but it's a road atmosphere. The Raiders fans are gonna be there. I don't know. I think, you know, there's probably a better chance than a lot of people are giving the Raiders right now at this point.
Yeah.
So circle that one, Raider Nation. I think that one's gonna be a fun one.
The only thing I'll say about the Rams, I mean, they're probably the only close to dominant football team in the NFL. There is no dominant football team right now. That's why, you know, I think the NFL right now is up for grabs. Because there is no dominant football team. You mean, there's no team like, oh, man, that's scary. Like, you know, we were scared of some of those Chiefs teams the last couple of years. We're like, oh, man, how do you stop this team? You know, they got all these players on their team, all these great players. So now, I mean, if you think about it, there's no like, oh, this team is just loaded. And the only team that you can think of is the Rams, right? So I kind of feel from that perspective, that's going to be a litmus test type of game to see how good the Raiders really are. Because I think the Rams are going to be a really good team. I think Stafford's, his confidence is going to be sky high from having that Super Bowl, and he's going to try to prove he has a chance to submit his legacy with all his stats if he can go and get another one. So I think he's going to be hyped. He's going to be ready to go. And but I think it'll be a litmus test game for the Raiders. But I think the Rams are just going to be they're going to dominate the NFC because I don't even know a team that's really close to them over there besides the Bucks. And just, yeah. That's just because they have Tom Brady. I have no really other reason than that. They got Tom Brady, so. Tom's going to figure it out. Third year in the system. Yeah, it'll be fine. That's probably why I came back. Tom was like, man, I mean, it is my third year in the system, though. Maybe I should just make sure that nobody – try to get the 800 touchdowns in my career. Make sure nobody passes any of my records. So.
Yeah, really. Gosh, this guy. Single-minded. I guess that's why he's one of the greatest, or the greatest, really.
Yeah, he has to be at 700 by now. Some are close. Crazy.
All right. Here, I'm about to actually kick it to commercial break real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll do a video breakdown.
Here we go. Everybody, it is your boy, Marcus Johnson. We are back. We got another brand that is working with us that we want you guys to support. So, check this out. He's a Raiders fan, the owner as well, Panda Supplements. We got discount code 35% off, discount code TDL for 35% off. Now, what is Panda Supplements? Panda Supplements is your typical nutritional supplements with a lot of different flavor because everything is natural, right? So you're getting you get the proteins, you got the green drinks, you got the pre-workouts, whatever you want, we got that with Panda Supplements. So make sure you check this out. One of my favorite ones, the Sleepy Supplement. This one helps me get some sleep because I don't sleep doing these films. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I do these all night. So I need some help getting to sleep. I hate my Panda Supplements. One of my other favorite ones right here is the greens, right? The green superfood gets you some immune boosts, right? You know what I mean? Laser focused digestive enzymes, you know what I'm saying? Help everything get better down here as well. So, you know, it's a whole lot of things. We got some focus as well. So go ahead, check out the website. Like I said, Panda Supplements, discount code TDL for 35% off. Check it out.
Alrighty. All right. So Marcus, I'm about to jump into Matthew Butler right now.
Okay. Give us a little defensive tackle play. Get in the trenches here, guys.
Get in the trenches a little bit. Let's see what I got here. All right, so I'm about to go over, you know, a little teaser, Matthew Butler. This is probably the only breakdown I'm going to do of his. So first things first, let's talk about the upside Matthew Butler has as a pass rusher. This is really where I think he slots into this defense early on and gets some playing time as a situational rusher. We see him here. He's at 3 technique. Okay. And I love it when he stunts. He does a great job switching gaps with some lateral movement. Okay. And we just see the penetration that he's able to get into the backfield. I think paired with Crosby, paired with Chandler Jones, getting that kind of penetration. This is a quick game. Okay. Ball's out quick. But being the most explosive rusher here on this play, I think, you know, paired with some really good defensive ends, that prevents the quarterback from stepping up into the pocket. Here's another one. Okay, again, working laterally. And you see him here when he gets a one-on-one, okay, he's able to use kind of, I would say, above average upper body quick twitch. And we see that here, okay, quick wins. When he can win immediately, bam, okay, he can get great pressure. Again, quick game. So the ball's out, but this does have an effect on the quarterback. Here's another one. Okay. We get
rip through. I like how busy the hands are initially. Rip through, get around that corner. We see a little bit of bend here. We see a little bit of ankle mobility and flexibility to turn that corner. You know, so he has some ability here to rush the passer. Here's another one. Okay. I just think the explosiveness laterally mixed with some decisive moves and being able to get pressure on the quarterback. Are these sacks here? No. But he's going to be playing with a lot better players. He's going to be playing in the AFC West where you got guys like Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, who like to hold on to the ball and not get the ball out quick. You know, I definitely think that, again, as a situational rusher, okay, here's another one, stunting, moving laterally. Okay, we're going to get a twist. Defensive tackle, one technique goes to the A-gap, opposite A-gap, three technique goes to opposite A-gap. Okay, we got a little twist here. No wasted movement, puts a foot into the ground. Okay, flushes that quarterback out of the pocket. It should be a low light, but it was a touchdown, so I took that touchdown out. I like him, but here's really the problem. Okay, that I have. Here's my knock on him as a pass rusher. When his first move doesn't work, you're not going to get anything out of him. Okay, here he is. He gets doubled. He gets stoned. There's no urgency to spin inside, hump move. Okay, fight through. It's just, we're just getting stymied. And that's something I noticed a lot on his tape. First move doesn't work, and he's not really bringing much extra. I don't see him able to string moves together. Here's another example of that. Kind of just like, oh, I got blocked here. I got jump set. I really wasn't expecting that. I'm just going to run, I guess, at the quarterback. Like, we got to detach here, you know. Spin inside, get detached. Get your hands off. Get his hands off of you. I constantly don't see that in his game. So that's a question mark I have about Matthew Butler. I guess this is another example right here. Okay, of the hands. He just doesn't have anything after that. He goes for that little snatch trap, right? It doesn't work. What does he have afterwards? Are we going to get anything else? Are we going to get a rip inside? Are we going to get anything? So I guess that's really my gripe on him. Now, as a run stopper, it's an interesting tape for Matthew Butler. Here he is. He's in a four-eye technique. He's going to stunt inside. And when he's getting penetration, he can be a very effective run player. Okay, I think plays like this, if this is how he's going to be used, I'm all for it. And I would really welcome that kind of style of run stopping. You see him there on that stunt. Here's another one where he gets, again, laterally stunting into the backfield. This is a game that they're running. Okay, he bubbles this. Now the ball carrier has to bounce, gets that penetration. Okay, here's another one. Okay, where he makes himself skinny, fights through this, gets that penetration into the backfield. I think one-on-one, as long as his pad level is right, he can take on blockers one-on-one. I have no issues with him there. He's going to be playing one technique here, or zero technique rather, here on this rep. Okay, again, penetration. Now, this is really the play that encapsulates Matthew Butler the best, in my opinion. Okay. Great get off. Watch the get off. Okay. He's the first defensive lineman out of his stance. Okay. Enough burst, explosion. He just catches this guard. This guard is completely blocked. Look, everyone else is blocking shoulder to shoulder. This guard's all the way in the backfield. He's blowing this play up, right? Okay. But look at his pad level. You see what I'm saying, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
Pad level so high, he cannot change directions. So really, he should have blown this play up. He needs to be low. He needs to be able to detach and sink his hips, detach, get off this, and make this tackle against this ball carrier. Okay, beat this guy, at least make an effort. But because he's so high, he can't even make an effort. It's taking him forever to react. So we have some good here. Great get off, great burst, great explosion. bad pad level, bad ability to change directions. That's really what we see from Matthew Butler, you know, in the run game when he's asked to take on guys one-on-one. Okay, if the pad level's too high, and you see, look, pad level's high, he's going, oh, let me sink my hips a little bit, wasting movement, not detaching. Okay, he can get blocked out, and I'm not sure that guy who's blocking him is an NFL player even. Okay, you know, so I just think he's a little bit of a sloppy guy in terms of his technique. It's really everywhere. You know, where his eyes are. So I'm not super high on him when it comes to stopping the run. Here's one example. So I think that it is in him where he's got to take a guy on, get his eyes on the ball carrier, detach, get in on a tackle, but he misses the tackle, of course. So that's all I got from him there.
All right. A fifth round defensive tackle. All right.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to bash him. I like the potential for sure.
Yeah,
I like the potential. Yeah. The things that you can't teach. He's 6'4". He's 300 pounds. He's got great get off. You know what I'm saying? Those things are there. When I first watched him, I was like, maybe he's new to playing defensive end or defensive tackle. Maybe he's like a former defensive end who's playing inside. Because I noticed. His eyes were everywhere. There's a couple, I ended up not putting him into the breakdown, but it's like the ball is like clearly over there and he's like running the opposite direction, stuff like that. So, you know, I questioned some things about his game, but you can improve in those areas. You can't improve being big and fast and strong like he is. So I definitely see the potential there. And it sounds like Cleveland Farrell is not going to be playing on the defensive interior. Based off of some comments that he made during an interview. So really, outside of that one technique, because that one technique, zero technique, the nose tackle, that's Jonathan Hankins and Neil Farrell, okay? Vernon Butler, the 6 foot four, 330-pound guy that is coming over from Carolina, yeah. he's not making this team.
That's okay? What I was about to say that.
He's not making this team. So but the other spots, the other defensive, like interior defensive spots, okay, that's wide open. That is any guy on this roster. I'm gonna go through the names right now. Okay, literally any of these guys I'm about to name. It could be Matthew Butler, Andrew Billings, mm-hmm. Bilal Nichols, Kyle Pico, Kendall Vickers. All of these guys have a shot at getting that spot there. Really. You know, even the Myron Tagovailoa Amosa guy, he's got a spot there. He's going to be in the mix there. I don't know if he has a shot, but he's going to be in the mix at one of those spots too. So that's really going to be the biggest defensive tackle battle. The position group battle is going to be the defensive tackle battle outside of one technique. So yeah. Matthew Butler, shoot. He's got a chance because I didn't name any great guys.
No, he does have a chance.
He's got a chance to play a lot.
Yeah, he does have a chance to play a lot. I was asking, what do you think of Andrew Billings? Just real quick, give your quick thoughts. Have you done any watch on him at all or no?
Yeah, so I watched two games of him early on when they signed him, and then they signed mm-hmm. Bilal Nichols, and then they signed Brandon Butler, and then they signed, you know what I'm saying? So I watched, this is like far back, right? And I remember being like disappointed with what I was watching with Andrew Billings, and then like progressively getting more and more disappointed. So he's not great, but he's like better than these other guys in my opinion, right? I just think he's a little undersized for the scheme, you know. Yeah. and I was surprised seeing him not be like a really dominant run defender, because that's what I remembered Andrew Billings in college was, a dominant run defender, right? So I was a little surprised, honestly, seeing that really, like, you can't really, that's not his calling card necessarily. So I question, like, what is Andrew Billings, like, actually good at? Like, how can he make an impact? And so, really, he'd just be a guy in there. You know, I'm not as certain that he'd make an impact. One guy, I will say, has a chance who's interesting to me, Kendall Vickers. Is this how many years am I going to talk about Kendall Vickers on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I stop? I'm just saying He's still on the roster. He survived multiple defensive coaches. You know, not a lot of guys survive going from Gunther to Bradley. And now we're going from Bradley to Graham, and Kendall Vickers is still on the roster. So we'll see. I mean,
potential. He's got potential. We've already seen some of his potential. That's why they.
I mean, I don't even know if he's got potential, but looking at the depth right here, this is really not anything to, you know, write home about. The defensive tackle depth on the Raiders right now, it's just a bunch of unproven guys.
Yeah.
So it's anyone's battle, including Kendall Vickers.
Do you think that's more of like a scheme thing? Like, because I can, you know, Graham, he loves to work defensive line. He's a defensive line coach. Probably feels like he'd do more stunts and stuff inside to create pressure.
You know, it's interesting to me because when I'm watching him against I'm watching the Giants defense against Kansas City, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Kansas City guards and center is just blowing these defensive tackles, these Giants defensive tackles off the ball, creating these huge running lanes, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what his deal is with, like, saying, I don't need great talent on my defensive line, you know? But certainly Neil Farrell will help with that. And when you have, like, guys on the edge that you do with Crosby and Chandler Jones, I guess maybe you can just rotate a bunch of these guys in and keep them fresh. I don't know if that's maybe part of it as well, just having a big rotation.
Cool. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Last thing everyone's talking about, Bryan Edwards got traded. Keenan Cole is coming over as well. They signed Keenan Cole. So we can talk about that last before we get out of here. Edwards trade.
Bryan Edwards, you said you like him in this offense as a blocker. I don't know when you ever said you liked him for this offense as far as like winning outside. Can you elaborate on that? Is there a scheme fit problem here, perhaps, that people need to understand?
He struggles with press, and that's a big thing for them. If you listen to Mick Lombardi talk about wide receivers, he talked about them basically the whole route tree. He's like, if you can't get off the line, it doesn't matter if you can run routes.
Right.
You know? So they replace Bryan Edwards with somebody that can get off the line because that's what Keenan Cole does. Well, is he can be pressed pretty good. Can he catch? That's a different story. He's basically like Nelson Aguilar without being Nelson Aguilar. He's basically a poor man's Nelson Aguilar. In my opinion.
Right.
But Keenan Cole kind of fits the same role because he can win deep. He also is a pretty good route runner too. He's not a great route runner, but he can beat the average corner in the NFL. So, you know, not every corner in the NFL is this amazing Jalen Ramsey player. So, when you have a guy like him who could beat the average guy, when you have some players go down, it won't be as bad when he comes in. So I think he's a good depth, very good depth player. Definitely should be the fourth wide receiver on this team. But I don't expect the fourth wide receiver to get that many targets. So that's why I think it's a good fit. And if Edwards does develop into somebody who gets those targets, that's great for him because now he might have a better opportunity for that there because over here he's not getting them.
Yeah, he's not going to get him anyways.
You know, he wasn't going to get him, so.
The other thing is, it's a great opportunity for him. I mean, Bryan Edwards should be through the roof on this. Mm-hmm. He gets to go play with Marcus Mariota. He already knows him. Sure, Marcus Mariota might get replaced at some point.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he won't, but for right now, it'll probably be Marcus Mariota to start the season off. And he already has that connection there, and they're missing Calvin Ridley. It's Calvin Ridley, right? It's Calvin.
I mean, they got Drake London over there, but I mean, they don't have. Yeah. I mean, they have Pitts and London, but they don't have like
Pitts London. Guy. You know, London's coming off of a foot, right, or a knee, right?
Foot injury.
Foot. So, I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for Bryan Edwards. Here's the other thing too. We could talk about Bryan Edwards. We could talk about the draft. We'll probably touch on that at some point in this conversation, mm-hmm. and you know all this stuff. But if this front office comes in they evaluate and they go and say, hey, look, maybe Vegas isn't the right place for this guy. You know what I'm saying? Not to say anything bad about the guy's talent level, his ability on the field, but maybe Vegas isn't the right scene for him, right? So that could also be something that is playing an effect on some of these conversations and some of these moves in front office. It's about getting low maintenance guys, and maybe they ascertained at some point that Bryan Edwards doesn't fit into that. Not speculating on Bryan Edwards, but any of these moves before we start going so far into like, oh, he sucks and you know this and that about the player, maybe it just didn't work out for him in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't think it's a coincidence that this happened after they had the little mini camp thing start. I mean, obviously, for sure. There's some kind of evaluation that went there. They decided that they can move on, and they got to bring in Keenan Cole, because that all happened after those practices started.
Yes.
So you know, just put two and two together there with that. But, you know, that's Keenan Cole. He can run. He's basically poor man's Nelson Aguilar. I mean, it's the best way to describe him. There's really nothing. Doesn't really need to break down or anything like that. I probably do something on the side because I'm doing some Zach Wilson stuff, and I'm not gonna watch Zach Wilson for nothing. Even though that Bucks game, man, he actually finally let it rip. He finally got over being scared from the Patriots game. Man, he looked pretty damn good.
Zach Wilson, huh? Good.
Yeah, but okay. He runs out of the pocket a little too much, so he's just trying to be Patrick Mahomes type.
I don't want Zach Wilson to be good, mostly because I live in, you know, the tri-state area.
Yeah.
I know Jets fans. Okay. Jet fans. That's how you – not Jets fans. Jet fans is what, okay. is what you say out here. I don't know why. Okay. I know Jet fans. Okay. And I love talking trash to them about Zach Wilson. So if he's good, that's bad for me and just like my social circle, honestly. So that's why I'm rooting against him.
The Jets aren't ready to be good, but I think he has a chance to be really good. If he kind of makes that game consistent, but
anything else? I feel like there was a couple other things though with the Raiders that have happened, right? Besides Bryan Edwards,
we talked
about Mark Davis thing. Talk about the schedule. All right. Anything else that you want to bring up before we get out of here, bro?
No. We're just gonna be doing some Patriots offense stuff with Mac Jones, doing some going over some of these schemes and some of these plays in depth. So be on the lookout for those. And then I'm starting my quarterback breakdowns for the members, so we can see some other quarterbacks in this NFL. We're starting those. Probably start off with about, you know, I got the Zach Wilson ones, Justin Herbert's, maybe do some Justin Fields out there. So you know, we're gonna mix those in. And just be on the lookout for those this summer, guys. Keep you that summer content because you know we're kind of in dead football season now, unless something crazy happens, you know. So you know, just a lot of reviews and you know, typical taped on live stuff. So
yeah, I'll probably put up a couple games, Patrick Graham against AFC West opponents.
Okay,
you know, so I'll probably look at that at some point in the next, you know, month or so. I got, there's two videos right now for tape grinders only. Neil Farrell, full game against Alabama, dominant performance. And then also I got Matt Butler against Kentucky, full game for premium audience only right now. Those are released too. So I got, while you're waiting.
Sorry, as well, I got Bryce Brown versus LSU on there, every single carry. For his LSU, so that's every single play, every single block play, every single run. Oregon. Sorry, not LSU, Oregon. So him against Oregon, every single run, all 13 carries.
Britton Brown. Yeah. Bryce Brown. I was like, wait a minute. Is that another
UDFA? Britton Brown.
Yeah.
Britton Brown. So yeah, I got every carry for him too as well. That's on the tape watcher, so that's $9.99. Go ahead and join that as well, guys. So make sure you hit the join button and support the channel that way as well. We really appreciate everybody who already has supported the channel, and we're going to keep those members only content for you guys. So, all right. I mean, BDW is all I got, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, slow season, guys.
Right.
Try to give you the best stuff that we got, but hey, you know,
fifth round pick, defensive tackle breakdown. Hey, you heard, you saw it here at TDL. Okay, make sure you follow us on Twitter. Myself at BDWilliams18, Marcus at MarkJohnNFL. Go ahead.
Last but not least, before we get out of here, any undrafted guys? Have you looked at any of them? And do you feel like any of them would have a shot to make this team that you have watched?
So I am gonna get into Isaiah Polamalu next.
Okay.
Yeah. So the more I watch of Graham's defense, I'm really questioning who's gonna play that other safety spot.
Okay.
If it's Daron Harmon, I'm gonna be upset. you know, if Dallin Leavitt is still on the team, I'm gonna be upset. Okay. So I see where Jonathan Abram is gonna play. He's gonna play on the second level. They're gonna get into dime. They're going to do all these things. He's going to play on the second level primarily. I see it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that other safety spot, that's what I'm confused about right now. So I'm a little worried. And, you know, Isaiah Polamalu, he's a safety. So, you know, maybe he figures into that equation. So I'll watch him. I got to look at the list because none of the guys on the list really jumped out to me. And, you know, I watched the Notre Dame guy. I watched Quinterio Cole. What school did he go to? That's safety.
Oh, I think I wanted to say Georgia, but I don't think that's it.
No. He's like Troy or something like that. It's like a small school. I forget. I watched him, and he's not making the roster. I wouldn't imagine. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if any of these guys really have a good chance. If I do find a guy, though, that'll be the first thing I do, bring him on TDL. Have you watched UDFAs yet? You watched them all?
No. I read Trey Turner. I was like, oh, he's not made the team. He already got cut. So kind of made sense.
Yeah. I'll let some of this settle down a little bit here first, you know?
Yeah.
Before I start jumping into – look, when you start watching UDFAs, okay, mm-hmm. this is how you know you got a problem. I would say it's just like – but
we do the teams with the best undrafted free agent classes.
Oh right, yeah. So right.
On Twitter, like, come on, dog, man. You're looking for content at this point. We get the best. People. Like, how do you even know that?
Right.
This is my team with my favorite college players.
No way. You did not watch all those guys.
My favorite college players countdown.
My favorite is when people go, like, literally the day after the draft, they start, like, getting ready for the 2023 draft. Like, all right, you got to – come on, man. What are we doing right now? You know? That's too much. That's too much for me.
I know, man. All right, guys. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. We are out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Tape Don't Lie. Follow us on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL, at BDWilliams18. And we're out of here. Peace.